to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee.
All right, would you stand with us this evening? Welcome to church on Christmas Eve. Oh dear. Welcome to church on Christmas Eve. We're so, so thankful that you're here. Welcome to all the visitors that don't normally attend. We are so, so grateful that you would take time out of your busy Christmas season and help us celebrate the birth of Christ this week. This is why we're here, and we're so thankful. And as we just saw, the entire plan of redemption in 2 minutes. Amazing, amazing. So we are gonna celebrate together. We have a technical difficulty.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Kelly.
I was going to welcome people after this song and tell you that there's nursery available downstairs for anybody that has that, little kids that would love to play throughout the service and help you maybe not be as distracted. So that's, you're welcome to utilize that. It's just downstairs, and we have a family that would love to take care of your kids for you. If you're new to our church, bathrooms are just out this way. And yeah, we just hope that we have an awesome evening of celebrating Jesus and focusing on Jesus. And would he get all the glory? Let's pray as we get started. God, we love you so much, and we are so thankful for your son. And we're thankful that we get to come together as a community, as a faith family, to proclaim your name. Jesus, we pray that you would be honored and glorified by everything that is said and done here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Shepherds came to receive.
stood by his mother's side. He laid a Savior inside a manger. Oh, what a glorious night. Oh, what a glorious night. I hear the angels sing. Hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out. Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds wondered, they couldn't hide it, told everyone inside. Oh, we're amazed when below in Bethlehem, the King is sleeping. Oh, what a glorious night! Oh, what a glorious night! a strong and mighty tower, your name is a shelter like no other, your name. Let the nations sing it louder, nothing has the power to save but your name.
Christmas Eve service, we carve out a spot in our service to do something special for our kids. Sometimes we've had kids come up and we've read a story to them. Sometimes we've done some small skits. This year we went all out and had those in our Faith Finders ministry put together a whole multimedia production for us. So turn your eyes to the screens and you can enjoy a Rocky Mountain House nativity brought to you by our Faith Finders kids.
Do you know the Christmas story? No, then you need to hear this. God really wanted us to be close to Him again. So He sent Jesus, and Christmas is when Jesus was born to save us. A long time ago, when Caesar Augustus was in charge, everyone had to go back to the town where they were born to write their names down. So Joseph and Mary had to walk all the way to Bethlehem. Mary was going to have a very special baby. When Joseph and Mary got to Bethlehem, the whole town was crowded. They tried to find a place to sleep, but every room was already full. Then an innkeeper told them they could stay in the stable behind the inn. That night in the quiet stable, Mary had her baby. His name was Jesus. She wrapped him in cloth and laid him in the manger. On a hill nearby, some shepherds were watching their sheep. Suddenly, an angel appeared, and God's bright light shone all around them. The shepherds were amazed. The shepherds hurried to find the baby. They found Jesus lying in the manger. They were so happy and thanked God for what they had seen. Far away in the east, some wise men saw a very bright star. They knew it meant a great king had been born. So they followed the star to find him. The star led the wise men to the place where Jesus was. When they saw him, they knelt and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that is the story of the very first Christmas. Jesus was born to bring hope, peace, and love to the whole world. Let's remember this wonderful gift and share his love with everyone.
Merry Christmas!
Do you know the...
Isn't that amazing? I will say that I don't think the original Christmas story had to deal with snow and cold. It was really cold that day that they were working on that. And so, so good. So good. I'm going to pray again. God, we just pray as we come to your word, God, that you would teach us, that you would encourage your church, that you would open our ears, open our hearts to hear what it is that you have for us. God, I pray that as you have been hopefully praised and honored and glorified through the singing of people, I pray, God, that we would worship you through the teaching of your word this Christmas Eve. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine with me, if you can, I know this will be difficult. Imagine with me that you were an Israelite back in the Old Testament times. I'm trying to get us to think about what it would have been like, what would the world have been like that Jesus arrived in. So think about, for the majority of your life, if not your entire life, you have lived, not by your choice, in some foreign nation, because your nation has been conquered. Your generations before you, people have been taken off into slavery. Or if you've been lucky enough to stay in your home nation, it has still been conquered, and there's other people who are ruling over you. Right? This is all you've ever known for most of the Jews, for most of the Israelites. And I would imagine that the people who had conquered you, they weren't the nicest. They were probably cruel. They worshiped idols and other gods. And I would imagine life was pretty miserable and hard. And there probably didn't seem to be any change coming on the horizon. Right? There was what I would think you would be struggling with, what even purpose. And at different times, though, God has sent prophets to tell you it won't always be this way. That he is going to send a Messiah one day in the line of King David, and he will bring salvation for you. He will bring salvation for mankind. Imagine in your situation dreaming of the fruition of that day. When is that going to come? Waiting for this to come about. Waiting for God to do what he says he's going to do. And so you have these prophecies that are out there, kind of just that you remember, that you're holding on to. And I want to read you maybe just a couple of these prophecies that they would have been told, that they were waiting for. The first one is in Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah had this message from God speaking about this day. And it says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Imagine hearing that, waiting for that to take place. And Micah is the next one. And the prophet Micah says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and to the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth." So you have these prophecies where again and again, God promises a broken and pained world that he's going to send them a Messiah. He's going to send them a deliverer who will begin to renew and restore all things. This is what the Jews were waiting for. In fact, this is what many Jews today are still waiting for, because they don't know that Jesus is the fulfillment of these prophecies, of these promises of God. They don't know that he is the Messiah. See, the Jews didn't understand that God isn't talking about giving them a military leader. In fact, the salvation that God has planned for them and for all mankind was much greater and much more needed than a military leader, than someone who would free their country for a short period of time. But even though they didn't fully understand the promise, imagine just waiting and longing for this day when everything would be better than it is right now. And that's not hard for us to imagine, is it? That things will get better, right? Even or for dreaming of something to get better. Even though we don't have the same struggles, the same situations, we long for things to be better, don't we? We long for things to be different, and to have hope, and to have joy, and to have purpose. But this is where I think the Christmas story is so relatable for us, and I think so meaningful for us. Because at the time that Jesus came in the flesh, the Israelites would have been waiting thousands of years for this promise. Generation upon generation upon generation, just waiting for this one that God promised would come, and he will change everything. Bring salvation to mankind, bring hope, bring joy, bring purpose, even in the midst of what's going on in our world. But after thousands of years, and even more than that, think about this. It's been 400 years of silence from God's word, meaning it's been 400 years since God last sent a prophet and you heard a message from God. I would imagine the people probably had some doubt creeping in. Don't you think? I think so. I would think that probably for many, there was a sense of resignation that, you know what? I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think anything's going to change. It was probably a pretty common feeling for those that were living at that time. A hopelessness. And then suddenly, the 400 years of silence was shattered. It was broken by the news from God that the seemingly impossible was becoming a reality. Broken by an angel's message to a young girl named Mary. broken by an angel's message to a young man named Joseph. Let me read you the news that shattered the silence. In Luke chapter 1, it says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and he said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words, and he wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Fast forward a month or two, Mary is now pregnant. And the second message that shattered the silence in Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You know what I think is amazing about when you read these accounts is sometimes I think they get so familiar and the story is so familiar that we don't really think about the humanity of it, that the people involved. And even think about the message that was given, the details of the way that God was going to bring Jesus into the world, I think would have seemed even more impossible than all these years of doubting. Would he ever send the Messiah? And then when he says he is coming, you're like, this is the plan? Like, God is going to use a teenage girl and a little, you know, somewhat older gentleman to serve as the mother and the stand-in father for the Messiah. Two people who were deeply impoverished, who had no religious or social merit. A girl who will conceive the Messiah while she's still a virgin and remain that way until after the Messiah is born. And people are going to follow this Messiah? For real? Like, that's the plan? What might all of this have been like for Joseph? To walk this out among your family, your peers, your community. For Mary. And despite all the questions and concerns nipping at their heels, Joseph and Mary just relentlessly press on. They just keep moving forward, believing the work that God said he was going to do. And so they went forward in faith and in trust, even when it all seemed impossible. This Christmas season, we have been watching different clips from The Chosen's Christmas episode, Holy Night. And I want to show you a scene that finds Joseph and Mary slowly making their way to Bethlehem. They were headed to Bethlehem because there was a census issued by the Romans that you had to go to your hometown to get counted. It's an imagined scene. It's not a scriptural one. But I love how it shows Joseph and Mary just relentlessly pressing on. But it also shows the questions and concerns that we know had to be plaguing them. Watch this.
We might see Samuel, but it's been so long. I don't know if he's living in the same home.
Hope so. You've said so much about him.
We will see. We won't have any time to look for him if he's not, of course.
We'll see.
Are we out? Not even a drop. Come on.
Joseph?
Yes?
Can you stop, please? I'd like to walk for a bit.
No, Mary. Why would you want to walk? It's dangerous.
I'm getting a bit uncomfortable. Elizabeth actually told me it's good to walk and move when I feel up to it.
We won't have any water until I get you to town. You need your rest. Yes. Let me get you more comfortable, huh?
Just... Joseph, you don't have to be the only one walking. Plus, we're far enough away from Nazareth. Don't have to hide my condition anymore.
Mary, this blanket is stuck. There is no way that you're comfortable.
Joseph, I'd like to walk with you. Please.
I am responsible for you, Mary. For you and...
You protect us.
Yes.
I know. I know. I'll let you help me down.
All right. You can walk for a few minutes, huh? But please, not too far. You need to save your strength.
I actually do need you to help me down.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Sorry. Slowly, slowly. Watch the baby. Oh. Okay. Is it okay?
Yes.
Hey.
This feels better. Thank you. Thank you for protecting me. I don't know that I've said that yet.
We have a little ways to go yet. Let's see how tonight goes and...
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about... before. I've been meaning to say something this whole journey, and I didn't, and I should have. I should have months ago.
You don't have to?
Yes, I do. You could have gotten all of the bride price back from my father.
It was never about the money.
I know it wasn't. And I know it's not polite to talk about, but no one would have blamed you.
For what?
You're divorcing me. Publicly.
Mary, I...
You could be betrothed to someone that you don't have to hide. And people wouldn't be gossiping about you. And you could go be registered without having to drag me on this donkey for 5 minutes. Joseph. You are a brave man. And you are godly. And I should have said thank you.
God told me to.
I know he did. But you had a choice.
I don't believe that I did. But I'm glad. Either way. I wouldn't change a single thing that has happened since that dream.
Neither would I.
Oh, this all seems impossible, huh?
Yes. But remember what the messenger said to me? Nothing is impossible with God.
My messenger didn't say that. That would have been nice, huh? Are you feeling better?
A bit, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
We need to move quicker. You need water, and I plan to get settled for the part where your messenger and my messenger said the same thing. Mm. And she will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus.
I just love seeing and being reminded of the reality of the situation that they faced themselves. They naturally had all these questions and doubts and uncertainty, but they just kept pressing on. Why? And I think the answer came in the message that Mary received from the angel when she said, "How can this be?" And his response was, "Nothing is impossible with God." Nothing is impossible with God. So they had the kind of the authority of Jesus, the authority of God backing them up, so they pressed on in faith. They pressed on in trust. They had this angel's message to both of them. They also had the example of God's faithfulness and God's fulfilled promises of doing the impossible in the past. They just have to look back to their people's history and go through just God doing the impossible. God rescuing the people of Israel out of slavery, 400 years of slavery to the Egyptians. Doing the impossible, using the miraculous. Going back and seeing how God put up walls of water from the Red Sea so over 1 million Israelites could walk through on dry ground. And then that water collapsing on the Egyptians who were following them. Recounting how God provided for their people for 40 years in the desert with food and clothing. Recounting how God fulfilled his promise to Abraham and Sarah and giving them a baby when they were both well past childbearing age. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah has been barren her entire life. But God promised, so God did it. He can do the impossible. God did the same for Elizabeth, Mary's aunt, who had been barren and now has this miracle baby who the messenger told Mary about. And Mary went and saw. Mary herself knows she's pregnant. She knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that God can do the impossible. She knows. Clearly, nothing is impossible with God. God breaks into our world to deliver us a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And he came into this world to bring salvation, not just for those who were living 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. Jesus came into the world. He went to the cross to pay for the sins of mankind today. For my sins today. For your sins today. Think about that. That's why he was called Emmanuel. It means God with us. God did all of this for us, so that we might be saved. Saved from ourselves, from our empty philosophies, our selfishness, the hurt that we cause in others. That to save us and to be with us in the midst of pain, in the midst of loss that we experience in this world. To break into our homes, into our families, to change the cycle of hurt and sin and hopelessness that so many of us know all too well. Jesus came to give us life and life to the full. That's what he says. And that is what many of us who have placed our faith and our trust in Jesus have experienced for ourselves. I pray that this truth would pierce each and every one of our hearts, that we would know to the core of our being tonight that nothing is impossible with God. Be encouraged tonight. When you think that it's hopeless and you think nothing can change your circumstances, would you just have this quiet truth just hanging on in the back of your mind? Nope, nothing is impossible with our God. We have the Word to look at. We have the authority of that. We have Jesus who came and took on flesh and went to the cross. We can look back on that. And many of us have seen God completely save and change and transform people that we know. Families that we know. I myself grew up in an abusive, alcoholic home. And God broke in and saved my dad. He is not the same person that I grew up with. Completely transformed. I can tell you firsthand, nothing is impossible with God. Because I wouldn't have believed it. How about you tonight, this Christmas Eve? Do you need to know that truth for yourself, that God can do the impossible? That God loves you and he came for you and he wants to save you, and guess what? He can. Do you need to know that firsthand? Because that's why Jesus came. That's why we celebrate Christmas. I pray that you would receive the gift of Christ this Christmas. That Christmas Eve 2025 would be that stake in the ground for you that you look back on. There's an illustration that's commonly used at Christmas time to help people understand, hey, what does it actually mean to receive Christ? What does it actually mean to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior? And that illustration is a gift. We're all familiar with having gifts under the tree with our names on it. Right? And so we also know that that only way to receive that gift that's under the tree that has your name on it is to actually pick it up. Is to actually take it and open it and receive it. Because until you take that gift from the person passing it out or from underneath the tree, it just sits there with your name on it. Nobody else is going to take it. It's not their name. It's your name. But until you grab it and receive it and open it and accept it, it's not yours. It just stays there. It's the same with Jesus. He is there waiting for you. To receive him, to accept him. Your name is on it. Or think about a gift from someone that maybe you don't want a gift from. Have you ever had that experience? Or maybe you get a letter from somebody that you don't want a letter from. And so now you got a decision to make, don't you? Do I open it? Right? Maybe you've already decided, you know what, I don't want to forgive this person who's writing this letter. I don't want to hear their side of the story. I don't want to give them that chance, right? And so you have a decision. Do I open it or do I just stick to what I already think is true, what I already know is true, and I'm in control of how I think this is going to go? And again, I think for a lot of us, it's the same with Jesus. And yet, no matter how we feel, he loves you and he died for you. Jesus says in Scripture, he says, behold, I stand at the door of our heart. And he says, and I'm knocking. And anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, Jesus says, I will come in. Do you understand that imagery, that picture? Like Jesus is like, he's on the other side of the door and he's knocking and he wants to come in, but he won't barge in. He won't force his way in. But he wants us to open the door. I even think it's just a crack. Just open a crack. He's like, hi! You know, like he wants to come in. Right? That's the image I get in my head. All there is for us is to open the door and to receive. I can't urge you enough to make the most of this opportunity to turn to Jesus if you never have. This is kind of the pastoral thing coming out. I did a graveside service yesterday. Yesterday, also one of our friends posted online about the sudden tragic loss of a really young, far too young relative in their family. I think about the past, 3 months in our community and the tragic loss of young people. I think about the tragic loss of families from our church in accidents this past year. And I am just reminded we are not designed to live forever. We're not designed to stay in these bodies on this earth. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. And I'm not trying to be dramatic. This is a very real reality. And so I pray that this Christmas you would see and understand the truly amazing love that God has for you. that you would receive the gift of salvation through the work of Jesus, through what he did for you on the cross of Calvary. See, coming to Jesus is just acknowledging that you need him. It's acknowledging that you're a sinner and you are in need of forgiveness, just like the rest of us. And that comes through the sacrifice that Jesus made for you on the cross. I love how our atmosphere team, if you've looked at any of these decorations, how every character in the Christmas story is looking at and focusing on the manger and the cross. Did you notice that? We need both. We need Jesus coming in the flesh. We need him living a perfect, sinless life. And we need his sacrifice on the cross that we could have a relationship with God the Father. Jesus wants to come into your heart and in your life. He wants to redeem you. He wants to renew you and transform you and your family. Nothing is impossible with God. And so I pray that you would accept this free gift of salvation that he is offering to you if you never have. If that's you tonight, I'm just going to pray. And I'm going to allow you to pray along with me. God knows your heart. And so if that's you, can I ask everybody to close your eyes and to pray? But if this is you tonight, would you just pray along with me in your heart? Oh God, I know that I am unworthy without you and that I need you. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins and offers me eternal life. Please forgive me of my sins and help me not to sin against you. I believe that Jesus is my Savior. I receive him into my heart. Take my life into your hands. Make it abundant and useful. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Come, all you unfaithful, come, weak and unstable, come, no, you are not alone. Oh, come, barren and waiting ones, weary of praying, come, see what your
Amen. You may be seated for a second. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, we have a gift for you. On your way out next to the doors, there's New Believer Bibles, and we just want to bless you and take one of those, encourage you to start reading the Bible and get to know more about God. If you're not from Rocky Mountain House, can I encourage you to find a church home where you can be discipled, where you can grow? Find a church who loves Jesus and loves the Word of God and teaches it. If you're from Rocky Mountain House and you don't have a church home, you're welcome to join us. We're a mess, but we love Jesus and we do life together. All right? And so you're welcome here to be a part of this. I'm going to explain to you the candles now so I don't have to interrupt anymore. And then we're going to watch a clip where it's right after the angels gave this message to the shepherds. Imagine when you finally get this news that the Messiah is here. He's arrived after generations of waiting. And so that's what we're going to pick up. So the ushers during this video are going to pass candles down the aisles. Just take it, turn it a little bit to clockwise, a little bit to the right. The candle will turn on. And then when we do Silent Night, we'll all have our candles. Okay? So that's what's happening next. Let's watch this video.
Shall call his name Emmanuel.
Oh, what a glorious night.
Lord, at thy birth.
Merry Christmas, everyone. We are so glad that you joined us to celebrate Jesus and to kick off your Christmas celebration. Hope that you have a great night and that Jesus is honored and glorified in your home tonight and tomorrow. There will be some people with some baskets in the lobby to collect your candles on the way out.